Our text this morning is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and particularly the first part of verse 21. Test all things. Test all things. God willing, this evening we look at the second half of the verse. But I want you to imagine this morning a world without any testing. Not testing the difference between a bottle of poison or a bottle of water. You would perhaps drink the poison and try to kill rats with water. A world without testing, it would be disaster. Where doctors would not be able to accurately test patients. Universities not test students. A world without any testing. One chemist's microgram, another chemist's kilogram. One person's water, another person's poison. Without testing, the world could not function. Near where I was brought up in South Wales, there were people who in history had been known as the Axe Men of Pembrey. Pembrey was a little town near where I lived. And in Pembrey, there were sometimes two lights. There was a lighthouse which gave out true light, warning people of rocks and danger. But sometimes the axemen of Pembrey, as they were called, would extinguish the light on the lighthouse and light a light on the church tower. It was a false light, though. Because the ships looking at that light, instead of being warned by the true light of the lighthouse, would end up being wrecked on the rocks. They were called axemen, the axemen of Pembrey, because the way in which they would remove the rings that were on the fingers of the dead people who were washed up on the shore. A false light can be deadly and dangerous. So we need discernment. We need to be able to test. And if that's true in the physical realm, it's even more important in the spiritual and eternal realm. If you don't discern the difference between the water of life and the poisoned drink of death, the consequences are eternally fatal. And so you see then, when Paul says to the Thessalonians, test all things, drink the water but refuse the poison, test all things, that word is important to us as it was to the person who people who first heard it. And of course, Paul is, in saying that, speaking to them about how they are to test all things in the light of God's word and the sufficiency of God's word. So this is, first of all, an extensive call. Test all things. Test them, says Paul, whether they're true or false, right or wrong, sound or defective. And particularly in that spiritual realm then. Test everything. What you believe. Test all things. If it's neglected, can cause spiritual disaster. Now, we are living at a time when the idea of testing things is actually not in the consciousness of many people when it comes to spiritual matters. Many imagine, well, just soak up everything like a sponge, and it doesn't really matter what you believe. If it's right for you, believe it. If it's wrong for me, it doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong. It doesn't really matter what you believe. Now, the Bible cuts across that thinking here very clearly by saying, what you believe does matter, and therefore test all things. And that's also necessary because none of us are to pretend that we already know it all. When we confess we are sinners, we are confessing that we have wrong thoughts too. And we are prone to go the wrong way. So we need to be continually brought back to God's standard. Like with that compass that points to the true north. The word of God coming back to it so that our minds, our ideas, what we believe, what we're resting on, what we're trusting in, are continually being molded and changed and conformed to a test, says Paul. Test all things. And also we know that no human being is infallible. You may respect highly certain authors, but that doesn't mean we give up our need for discernment. God holds us all accountable here. Paul commended the Bereans, the people who lived in Berea long ago, even above the Thessalonians. Because the Bereans, when they heard Paul, they tested. They went to the scriptures and they said, what Paul's saying, are these things so? They tested it by the scriptures. And if the preaching of the Apostle Paul needed to be tested, how much more anyone today? And testing is also needed because not always is the error apparent. If you are thinking of buying a new car and someone in their field had a rusty old car that had been there for 20 years, was rusted through and falling apart, it wouldn't take long for you to think, this is not the car I should be buying. But a car on a salesman's forecourt may look bright and shining and gleaming. But you know, that car may have fatal flaws. That's not easily apparent just with a quick once-over with your eyes. Not always easy to spot that actually this car, it looks good. But what if it's two cars, the front end of one car and the back end of another car, they've been involved in accidents and the two good halves have been welded together? Test all things, says Paul. And if that's true in the physical realm, then how much more in the spiritual realm? Error does not come to your life and to the church and knock on the door and say, hello, here's Mr. Error. The devil is a great deceiver, the Bible says. In paradise, the deceiver told Eve, the fruit on the tree that God has told you not to eat, in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, what had the devil done? The devil had twisted, distorted the truth. When our first parents disobeyed and rebelled, God later said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. But what Satan had done is twisted the truth, covered up the whole truth, and contradicted the truth by his distortion. And so the Lord Jesus warned, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous, hungry wolves. Peter wrote about false teachers who shall come among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. And even when tempting the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil quoted the Bible. There can be false prophets and false teachers on the God Channel, on TV, who will quote scripture. But that doesn't guarantee someone on the TV, in the newspaper, quoting the Bible doesn't mean what they're saying is true. Test all things, says Paul. And there may be errors in the most unexpected places. We are living at a time when communication means now what people say can easily be transmitted into all sorts of places in the world. So many people can end up confused. We don't throw up our hands in despair. We're not tossed around with every idea. We don't just pick up things from the internet, from the TV, from the newspaper, believe everything. No, we seek God's grace and the Spirit's help to discern what is true. What is the true gospel? Where does the word of God lead us to? Because your spiritual welfare depends upon it. It's an extensive call. Test all things. The second thing this verse reminds us of is the right standard. an extensive call, the right standard. I'm due to be travelling to Kenya in a couple of days' time on Tuesday to go to a pretty remote place. It's called Lokichokio. If you were to look at it on the map, it's right up in the north west of Kenya, near the border with Somalia. A friend of mine was due to come with me on Tuesday and share in the teaching. But he phoned me a little while ago to say his wife had suddenly been taken unwell, was taken into hospital, and the doctors gave her an MRI scan. They wanted to know what was causing this intense pain that she was feeling. Now, the doctor, in order to assess what had gone wrong, has to know what that picture should look like. What does the healthy person look like? And this picture from the MRI scan, where now in this picture is there something wrong, which in a healthy person would look something a little different, perhaps a big different. So you have to have the right standard to test something. The doctor must know what it ought to look like, that MRI scan, so he can tell something's wrong here. My friend's wife has got pancreatitis. And so he's had to phone me to say, he just can't come. She's very ill in hospital. So when we are testing all things and discerning what's right and wrong, we have to have the right standard. Now, the big problem for us today is that for most people, the standard is what I think, what you think, the big I, me. I don't like it. I won't do it. I won't believe it. I think, I feel, I like, I don't like. I don't see anything wrong with it. What I think, me, ends discussion. And we're living in a society at the moment that fosters that mentality. Just go along with whatever you think. And if you give in to that mindset, we are left then to the folly of human beings and what people are tending to think today. If everyone is thinking it, it must be right. It must be acceptable. If someone popular says it, particularly if it's a celebrity, it must be right. If a book is a bestseller, it must be right. Now, in the Bible, popularity, or what you think, or what I think, is not the standard of truth. For some people, time can be a standard. If something was expressed in the 1600s, it must be true. For others, if something is more than 30 years old, it can't be true. So neither antiquity nor modernity guarantees whether something is true. Where are you going to find a standard without error? The psalmist said, your word is very poor, very pure. The law of the Lord is perfect, says the psalmist. The testimony of the Lord is pure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandments of the Lord, pure. Jesus himself, the Son of God, confessed, your word is truth. You need a standard? God's word is the standard. It will not deceive you and it will not mislead you. So the question is not what do you think or what do I think? The standard is, what does the Bible say? Listen to how Isaiah exhorts that way of thinking. Isaiah said to the people of his day, he says to us this morning, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, said Isaiah, it is because there is no light in them. What was Isaiah saying? He was saying, test all things. Bring everything to the touchstone of the word of God. If you go to the bank and you withdraw money, you'll notice these days the cashiers, they have a sense usually as they're counting money when a note doesn't quite feel right. I was in a shop the other day And the shopkeeper was holding up this note and looking at it and thinking, and I could see the way the shopkeeper was thinking, it was a £50 note. There's something wrong about this £50 note. It's not right. But then what did the shopkeeper do? He's got this little machine, most of the shops now, under the counter. He pulls the little machine out, can scan the £50 note. Ah, this is a forgery. As I was talking to the boys and girls about the compass and the Word of God, one of the children very astutely said, it's good to have the Bible, read it. You see, the Bible, if it's on a shelf in your house, is not going to be much of a use to you in testing all things unless you get it down off the shelf and start reading it. Which is why coming together to hear God's word, to study God's word, and personally and as families reading that word, the more we'll be kept from error and every false wind of doctrine. So testing all things is going to be bound up with a diligence to know and study the scriptures. If you forget the Bible, but just listen to the TV, you'll be led astray. If there's no place in your daily, weekly routine for the Word of God, spiritual discernment will not flourish. When does the church drift away into error? It drifts away into error when it begins to lose its moorings and its reliance upon the Word of God. So to prevent that happening, I need to be, you need to be, we need to be people of the word. People who gather around the preached word and who meditate on that word, the law of God, day and night. Why am I going out to Kenya? Why have I done it now for 5 times before? So it'll be the 6th time to go. Well, because there are a group of men there who have, some of them, amazing opportunities for the gospel. Last time I was there was a man preaching regularly every Sunday to 10,000 people in his hometown. When I asked him, how many people from your town come to church on a Sunday? He sort of looked at me with a funny look, as if he's asking, you know, what are you talking about? He said, well, when I preach on a Sunday, everybody comes. The whole town comes. I said, oh. What would happen if somebody in your town decided they didn't want to come? Oh, no, he said, no, that couldn't happen. If somebody didn't come, we would send men from the church to their house and tell them, it's time for church, they must come. Now, in that sort of opportunity, those men need, don't they? They need to be people who can preach and teach the Bible. And some of these men have had very little training, which is why they go to this place. They have 3 months of very intensive teaching and training how to preach and teach the Bible. That's what it's all about. Why is that important? Well, it's important because here is the way that God reveals himself to us through his word as to know truth and error. And the sad thing is in some of the countries where there's great opportunity for the gospel is that sometimes false teachers come in, that prosperity teaching particularly comes in and causes devastation. Spiritual discernment. And you won't get that either from just swallowing anything, neither will you get it from what some people imagine, just let your mind go blank. Just open yourself up. Don't think. Just accept any experience, any truth. If you use your mind, then you won't really receive it from God. So don't think about it. Just go with the flow. Just accept it. Now, that is never the way the Bible teaches the Christian to go in the right way. Test all things. So we approach God's word with the prayer, lead me in your truth. And teach me, the psalmist says. And in reliance on the Holy Spirit, that we be teachable for that truth to impact our minds, our lives, everything. An extensive call, the right standard, thirdly, the appropriate methods. If you're going to apply the word of God as you test all things, to know what does God require, how are you going to do it? Well, if you think, for example, of the way the Lord Jesus Christ summarized God's requirements for the Christian, how are you going to know this morning? How should you live as a Christian? Listen to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, we are living at a time where there is massive uncertainty in our nation. How are you going to know what God requires for the Christian, how a Christian is to live? The Lord Jesus speaks here very clearly about what it means to love God, to love your neighbor, and you see that fleshed out in the Ten Commandments. We need to go back, in other words, to the Word of God. When you read the Bible, what we think, what we believe, every opinion. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 speaks of casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You say about everyone who's speaking about what's right and true and the right way to go, you bring that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does the Bible say about this, you say? Wrong beliefs tend to make people independent and lead them away from Jesus Christ. True submission to the Word of God will bring you into submission to Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Savior, to come to God through Him, and then to His Word. Now, in opposition to leading you to Jesus Christ and trust and reliance upon Him, what will false teaching do? False teachers often are men pleasers. They will please your ears, but they will not profit your heart. False teachers will teach their own wisdom and their own folly. Listen to Jeremiah, when God said through the prophet of Jeremiah to the people of his day, "The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. They're prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds." False teachers then, leading people astray, leading a people away from what is of central importance. The great truths of the Bible. Man's ruin by the fall, regeneration by the Holy Spirit, redemption through the blood of Christ, the three R's of the gospel. But leading away from that to focus instead on other matters. And false teachers exploit their followers. They exploit them because they're concerned about prosperity in this world. False teachers concerned about your goods, not about your good. Want to serve themselves rather than save the lost. And are content for Satan to have your soul as long as they can have your stuff. Therefore, you had better test all things. And you see, if you're not a believer here this morning, we are living again at a time when there is a massive confusion in the spiritual realm. How can you know God? What's the right way to come to God? All sorts of opinions and theories and ideas are being thrown at us in our secular materialistic society. What the Bible is doing this morning is calling you back to this standard which is reliable and authoritative and will last. This last few days has taught us anything. It's taught us that the ideas and the opinions of men are very changeable. You know, something that will last for eternity, solid, reliable. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. God's word endures forever. You want something to rely on this morning? You rely on this word, which takes you to the eternal word, Jesus Christ. God has spoken to you this morning. He's spoken in his word, and he's spoken by his son, Jesus Christ. So don't refuse the God who speaks this morning. Turn to him. Seek him through his word and rely upon that Savior, Jesus Christ, the eternal word who declares himself to you this morning. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So rely upon him. Run to him. Cry out to him for forgiveness and cleansing. Come to him this morning as the Savior who saves to the uttermost, all who come to God. All who trust in him. Through him, you can come to God this morning. And don't be deceived by the false ways of this world. Thank God that he's spoken in his word and he's spoken in his son. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning that in a confusing world, you have spoken in your word. We thank you that in that word, we have a mighty Savior revealed, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in the beginning was the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word who gave himself up even to the death of the cross for our salvation, the Savior now who is alive forevermore in the power of an endless life. We come to you in that mighty name of Jesus then. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Word. Help us to be those who not only have the Bible, what a privilege, and we thank you that we have your word, but make us those who also will hear it and read it and rely upon it, believe it, make it a part of everyday life, and may Jesus Christ through that be believed upon and honored. We come to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing another closing hymn about the way in which God guides us, leads us, directs us by his word. Wind of God, dynamic spirit, breathe upon our hearts today, and then speaks of leading us to God's word too. Let's stand to sing together. Let's pray then. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and with and upon all the people of God, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.